IRC, I was definitely not expecting this. You got it, boys. Let's go.
Yeah, thank you for being here. So we're going to talk about IRC in 2025. Maybe you've heard about IRC, like, I don't know, 20 years ago or something, and not heard about it since. So yeah, we're going to show that we're still working on it, and we want to modernize it, and yeah, we're going to explain how. So yeah, let's start with, so some young people might not know what IRC is at all. Maybe you've seen this XKCD before. So basically this guy on the right, it's me, 80 years old in the future maybe. So why are you still using IRC? I guess it's a question of personal preference of communities. Like each community has its own preferred tools, and each community has its own vibe. So diversity is a good thing, and yeah, let's all use what we like. So, what was IRC like in 2003?
Well, back in my day, IRC used to look like this. No fuss, not so many features either. So IRC in the, back in the days, 20 years ago, was mostly on desktop. There were no easily, well, 20 years ago, smartphones were not widespread. So. But I mean, it was mostly desktop clients, terminal clients, not quite easy to use. Have to learn a lot of commands, configuration. If you're using a second desktop, you have to configure it again. So it was quite hard to use back in the time, and this is maybe what you remember from IRC. It has evolved a lot since, which is the purpose of the presentation. Okay, so what are we talking about here? So this is a client-server instant messaging protocol that is implemented by several pieces of software. So we have a client, and we have servers on the right side. So we have several clients today. This is like the picture today. So we have now clients on Android and iOS devices, as well as desktops and on the web. So you might recognize some of these as icons, and some of these might be new to you. So the pink cat is called a Senpai. And on the right, you have networks of servers, which represent different communities. So you have Libra, which is one node, which replaced Freenode that you might have heard about. And basically, you configure your client to connect to all these networks, and you would also configure your other client to do the same. This is nice, but this requires us to configure each client separately and copy the configuration over, which was a pain point in IRC before. So we introduced a new piece about 10 or 15 years ago, which is a bouncer. It's an intermediate server that sits between your clients and the networks that you connect to. And basically, this bouncer stores your account, meaning which networks you're connected to, and your chat, like your messages, some message history. And we'll see some of these features later, but this is a key piece that makes IRC modern today. And there are several implementations of bouncers. ZNC might be the one that you know, but now there is Soju that is developed by Simon and I. And this blue icon is IRC today. This is a service that I'm running, commercial Soju as a service. Just a quick note, is Gamja and the little blue icon was also developed by Simon and I, so we have apps about everyone in the ecosystem. So now I'm going to show you what the user experience looks like, just so you have a quick understanding of what you would expect from IRC today if you were to use it. It's quite different from 20 years ago. Okay. So it's a very quick demo. I'm going to basically speed run IRC. We have three apps. I'm starting with the mobile app. So let's say I already have an account on my bouncer, already connected to several channels, and I already have messages, etc. And I'm setting up a new phone. I just installed Guguma. I can start it. Yeah, okay. I can start the app and enter the URL of my bouncer as well as my credentials. And as you can see, it immediately synchronizes all the channels that it downloads from the bouncer. There is no prior state in this demo, so I didn't have to do /network connect, etc., that you would expect in 2003. I can open a channel. The messages are immediately downloaded from the browser, no prior state as well. I can fetch the history, infinite loading, just as you would expect from a modern app. And I can, now let's say a friend of mine wants to talk to me, but on a different network that I haven't added yet. So I can add that from my client. So as you can see here, I have a list of networks that I'm connected to, Libra, FTC, Ryzen, that you might know. Let's add a new network. Ergo, which is a new, basically the standard network for a new server. Okay, it's added now, and we're connected to it, so immediately. So now we can ask our bouncer to connect to a new channel on that new network, hash demo. Okay, let's send a message. Hi there. And we have a friend there that will reply to us in this demo. Oh, hi, Mark. And as you can see on the top, we have a typing notification. We know he's typing another message right now, which is quite nice. Could you send me a picture? So we can actually send pictures from our client now in a standard way. Okay, we can share a file. And as you can see right now, it swapped my file for a URL because the file just got uploaded to my bouncer. This is much easier than it used to be 20 years ago when we had to upload files separately on like Imgur and then get the URL and back. So much better. And then when I send it, my client renders the preview and the same on my friend's device as well. Well, okay, he doesn't seem convinced. let's reply to him and ask why. So I can reply to the message by swiping and type an answer, and then and then as you can see, it refers to the message that we've sent earlier, and I can click on it, and the message is highlighted. So again, replies are new. You wouldn't have that 20 years ago. Okay, so that was Goguma, and let's say I just closed my phone for a few hours now, and I just closed the app, and the app was completely shut off, no connection to the server, the battery being easy on the battery. So, and we just received a message. How is this possible? Well, we just received a push notification. This is new in IRC as well, for messages as well, which enables us not to have to download all the logs from months back. And just I just connected with that prior state here. So quick search as well. And I also have a typing notification as well in Sendai. Okay, last client, and this will be the end of the quick demo. Back to Simon afterwards. This is our web client called Gamja. Seeing a pattern with Goguma and Gamja, both names of Korean potatoes, two different kinds. Okay, Gamja is a web client, so this is running in a web browser, but you don't see the web browser frame, just the way I captured it. So again, using the credentials to connect to my server, and you can see as well, so it's a bit small, but no worries, no need to actually see the text, but you can see that it synchronizes the network as well. And as you can see, you can see that something turned green on the left side, the bottom of the list of the buffers on the left side. This is because I received a message there. So the client is telling me, oh, you received a new message there. Okay. But instead of replying on my web client, I will reply on my desktop client because I also have it open. And as you can see now that I've replied on my desktop client, the color is now white where I point my cursor. That's because this client knows that another client has read the messages, so now I can synchronize whether messages were read. And I don't have duplicate notifications on each client, which used to be the case as well. Right. Well, I believe that's it for the demo. Back to you, Simon. Go ahead for turning the slide. And I'll just... So what did we see, basically? We saw a lot of features that might appear obvious to you due to the way, this is just a modern instant messaging app, right? But it took a lot of effort to bring it from the 2003 screenshot I showed you to what it is today. So how does this work? So basically, every feature, and we have like tens of them since 2003, tens of them were implemented. You have, for example, a feature for chat history, message history, etc. So each feature, it's developed and implemented and standardized independently. So just a quick note. So we have features in four different categories, typically, that we saw just now. So for example, plumbing features that, for example, make the connection time and load time overall better. We have manual processes that were previously quite annoying to do that are now automatic, for example, uploading files is now instant and standard rather than going through an external website. And we have new user interactions, replying to messages, reacting to messages in the future, etc., typing notifications, and for multi-device and mobile, I think this is the most important set of features that we've added. We have history of messages with no prior state downloaded dynamically from the bouncer. We have searching messages server-side. We have synchronizing the state of all networks that we're connected to, and I think those are really powerful features that we've added to IRC. We also have push notifications that Simon will expand on just afterwards. That's it for me. You're new, Simon.
Yep, and all of that is standard IRC. How do we make specs in practice? We, instead of designing by committee, which is done sometimes, we start by experimenting. So we implement vendor extensions in our clients and servers. Then we see how well it works. We discuss with other people and ask if they would implement something like this in their own clients and servers, and iterate like this. Then we submit it to IRCv3, and if we get enough acknowledgements, we can publish it. So this is really interesting because we have specs that are interesting to many people and really work in practice. So and we think consensus among all parties. So let's take, for example, WebPush as an example. So WebPush is an extension used for push notifications. We had a bunch of constraints in mind when we designed this extension. First one is it's fully decentralized. What I mean by that is each IRC server needs to send a push notification to a particular client. There's no one server sending the push notification, so we need to work with that. Second constraint is that we need to interoperability with Google and Apple, and also Unified Push. Because on Android, for instance, if you don't go through Google, then your app will just not wake up. So that's really something that is mandatory. So because we go through Google and Apple, we wanted to use end-to-end encryption for notification payloads. We don't want Google and Apple to be able to see your chat messages, basically. So the good news is that the web already solved all of these problems for us. They have a specification for web push, which is basically send a HTTP request to an encrypted payload to a server, and then the server is responsible for forwarding to the app. The only kind of missing piece was interoperability with Google and Apple. So we designed also a small bridge, push garden, to translate standard web push into proprietary Google and Apple API calls. So the way it works is the IRC client sends a subscription command to the IRC server with the URL of the web push server. And then when the server receives a message while the IRC client is disconnected, it sends a HTTP request with the push notification, all of that encrypted, to the web push server. And the web push server is responsible for delivering the push notification to the IRC client, which is woken up by this mechanism. So at the protocol level, it's quite simple. The server advertises a private key, a public key, sorry. The client then sends a web push register command with the URL and a bunch of keys. And then the server replies success. And the push notification contents are basically just a standard IRC message as well with the message text. So if we have Google or Apple in the picture, then it's a bit more complicated because the push server is a web push relay here on the bottom right. And the web push relay relays the message to, for instance, Firebase messaging for Google. And Firebase messaging is responsible for waking up the Android client.
And that piece was developed by Simon as well.
Yeah. So yeah, our future plans are experimenting with end-to-end encryption, and maybe experiment also with avatars for users and such. That's about it. Thanks a lot. Yeah, for instance, the Ergo server is also implementing a lot of the modern stuff, so web push and read marker synchronization. So if you use the older servers, maybe you don't get all these nice features, but if you use more modern servers, then you can get it. It depends what you use.
Clients that support these features as well, but we did not develop.
Yeah, other clients also, yeah. So.
Not just a proprietary protocol that we're building between our bouncer and our clients.
Well, a standard is only as good as the implementations are. Nobody implements it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I
mean, hence the process to first experiment it with actual clients and then come back to the like standard organization and then go back and implement it at other clients as well once this is done.
Also, the thing with Soju is that you, even if you use old servers, you get all the nice features still, and you're free to use an older client which doesn't support the new features and use it with the Bansa.
One more. How does the migration story look like? Right now I'm running the Quassel server to the bouncer and all the stuff, but they use their own proprietary protocols for the clients. If I wanted to move to Soyuz, is there some way I can bring over my chat history and everything?
Unfortunately, we only have a migration script for ZNC, but I would welcome your contributions to develop a migration script for Castle, I suppose.
Yeah.
Cool.
Just to clarify, what is the observation is that much of the benefits are focused on the hosted bouncer setup, but there's still value, a lot of value, on the client talking directly to the server, because as a client, I don't have to host anything or pay for anything and just get whatever the server can get. So maybe they store 2 weeks of message, and that's why I'll get it, and I can get it stored then locally, but there's no bouncers involved. I don't have to set up one or pay for one.
I agree that it's still an important use case to support. And if you can use any of these clients directly connecting to a server, and it will work. And Ergo supports all the modern features as well.
I guess one of the key reasons for using a bouncer is not just for introducing new features to servers that don't support it, but also so that you can connect to multiple networks at once. Like without copying your configuration again. If you connect directly to a server and you have a mobile device and another devices on your desktop as well, and you have to connect to multiple servers, that's a lot of configuration to write and replicate to all your clients. So it helps to have some kind of centralized place for all configuration along your networks, which enables IRC to be decentralized and not always use one particular server.
Thank you very much. Fucking killed it, guys. Nice. That was awesome.